Good morning, church. I guess it's my turn now to wish a happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers, and thank you for the time and the dedication that you give to your families. Of course, we're, as Nancy said, we are thankful for all the women here in our church family. Thankful for who you are, for all you do, and for allowing the light of Christ to shine through you. Let's turn together in our Bibles together today to the book of 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And while you're finding 2 Timothy, I ran across a couple cartoons this week that seemed fitting for Mother's Day. So this first one, it's kind of hard to read the words, so I'll tell you what it says. It says, "I'm not sure Mary's ready for motherhood." She's juggling her eggs. This reminded me, we have a mother robin on our back deck of our house, and there are three eggs in the nest right now. And whenever we go out on the deck, the mother robin will go out in the tree and watch us really closely. And the other day I was out there for too long and she started chirping at me. I guess she was saying, it's time to go back inside now or something. I'd overstayed my welcome. And then this other one is funny. It's some vultures, and the one is standing up, and the mom says, "How many times do I have to tell you to slouch?" I don't know about you all, but my mom used to always tell me, "Stand up straight," or "Sit up straight." And I guess if you're a vulture, then it's the opposite of that, right? Okay, 2 Timothy is thought to be the final letter that Paul wrote in the New Testament. And he was writing this letter to his close friend and partner in the ministry, Timothy, from a jail cell in Rome. And this is probably just before the Emperor Nero ordered Paul to be executed for his faith in Jesus. And so as you read this book, you can sense the love and the care and the concern that Paul has for his brother in Christ, Timothy. There are a lot of encouraging words in 1st and 2nd Timothy, both of those books. And I think they're also reminders for all of us about the need to live out our faith, to fulfill the calling that we have placed on our lives, and to pass on our beliefs and to do it all well. And so the title of the message today is Live It Well. And our main text is 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 5, but I'm going to also skip over to chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning, beginning with 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. Paul says, "Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again," which probably never happened. He says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." And then let's turn over to chapter 3. Some more encouragement here, beginning in verse 14 of chapter 3. Paul says to Timothy, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work." In a recent issue of Time magazine, they shared the annual list, they do this every year, of the world's most influential people. And some of those people who made the various covers of the magazine when they put that out were Demi Moore, Ed Sheeran, Serena Williams, and Snoop Dogg. I guess their idea of influential is quite different from what I define as influential. But in all, in their magazine, there were 100 people listed as the world's most influential. And as you know, as I read through the names, I kind of understood why some of them they picked. They were influential from a certain perspective. But I had to think about the influence that we have on each other from a more personal standpoint. You know, from a ground level aspect. I know many of those people by name, but they have not influenced me. They have not influenced my beliefs or the way that I live my life. And they surely haven't influenced the most important part of my life, which is my faith, my salvation in Jesus, and the way I live my life. So who has influenced those things? Jesus and the Word of God, of course. My parents, my grandparents, my wife, many of my extended family, and those of you who I consider my brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church. So you all should be on the cover of Time magazine. Especially those of you who are mothers or have had mothers who have been influential in your lives. As Paul opens this second letter to Timothy, he is acknowledging the importance of Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice that nurtured him in the faith and passed it on to him through teaching, example, and encouragement. And so, you know, by stressing this example, Paul is encouraging all of us to be vigilant and intentional in passing on the legacy of faith to future generations. I have a pocket watch here from the 1800s, from the Civil War era, that was passed from my great-great-grandfather to my great-grandfather to my grandfather to my father, and now here it sits in my hand this morning. And I'm not really sure it's worth anything because it doesn't work. It's just a piece of metal really anymore. But it is interesting that it's that old and has been passed on for that long. Put that right there. But compared to the legacy of faith that those men passed down to me, this means a lot more than that pocket watch. This is my grandfather's Bible that was passed down to me when he passed away. Well, actually, it was passed on to me when my mother passed away several years ago. She had it in, of course, then gave it to me. Or I got it when she passed away. But I treasure it. I treasure it immensely. It has verses in it that he underlined, including the main verse from 2 Timothy this morning. It's underlined in here, along with all kinds of notes and bookmarks that he had along the way. And there's one of the bookmarks was from a summer Bible school class that he taught in 1976. And I guess they gave all the teachers as a thank you. They gave him a bookmark. But you know, this Bible is a reminder for me of the legacy of faith that the men and the women of my family passed on to future generations. I'll put it up here with the stopwatch this morning. So think about your own life. Who introduced you to Jesus? Who talked to you about salvation in and through Jesus? And who read the Bible or Bible stories to you as a young child? Was it a mother or a grandmother? A father or a grandfather? A friend? A Sunday school teacher or a youth leader in your church? For many of us, you know, as I was thinking about that, it might be hard to pinpoint an actual date or time that those things happen, because, you know, it's probably a gradual hearing, a gradual learning and understanding over time as you grew up. Well, for Timothy here, it started when he was an infant or a very young child. The NLT, which I read from, says, "You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood." The NIV translation says, "From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures." So, along with "Good Night, Moon," we also need to be reading books with Scripture and Bible stories to our children. And you can't really start too young with this either, you know, because even an infant can be blessed and impacted by just hearing words of Scripture read over them, or playing Christian music or worship music as your children are playing or going to sleep. Of course, bringing them to church and to Sunday school is an important part of that learning and understanding as well. It really starts at home. I mean, that's where it needs to begin. And then it can be encouraged and cultivated here at church and in youth group and in Sunday school. When Boone and Eliana's parents dedicated them to the Lord several Sundays ago, they committed themselves as parents to this kind of legacy. And we committed ourselves to helping them in nurturing that legacy in their families. We have to realize that those kind of legacies, they don't just happen by accident. Parents, grandparents, and church family, we have to be intentional about this, and we can't just wait until the time seems right. I can testify that no matter what age your children are at home right now, the day is going to come quickly when they are graduating and moving on. We're going to celebrate that next Sunday. Lois and Eunice intentionally nurtured Timothy's faith when he was young, and then as he was growing up. They lived their faith as well. And of course, we know that seed fell into fertile ground as Timothy grew and answered God's call on his life. At the beginning here, Paul even mentions his ancestors, and he says, you know, that they had an impact on him as he was growing and maturing. Paul and Timothy, of course, were partners in the ministry of spreading the good news of Jesus to the Gentile world. And Paul was praying for Timothy here even while he was imprisoned in Rome because of his faith in Jesus. So as he's writing this to Timothy, I wonder if he's also saying these things to maybe encourage others as well, to pass that torch of faith on. So are we passing the torch to the next generation? In our families, in our church, and with those we look up to as mentors. Are we sharing Jesus and the way to salvation and what faith is and why it's important? Some of you probably did have grandmothers that prayed for you daily, or still do. But some of you might be hearing this morning or today, and you're thinking, I didn't experience that kind of upbringing. My parents and my family didn't really believe in Jesus. They didn't follow Jesus. They didn't read the Bible or have anything to do with church. Maybe some of you are the first in your family to follow Christ. And if that's you, then you can be the one to start a new legacy of faith and belief in Jesus in your family. Of course, since this is Mother's Day, we are focusing on, more on motherhood today. Obviously, many mothers have been wonderful support and influence on many of us, but not every mother has been the best example or the greatest at showing us love, compassion, and grace. And sometimes that hurt is real. And we need the Lord to help us to heal from those disappointments. But we all have the opportunity to extend grace and to chart a new and different course, right? You can begin a new legacy which looks like the legacy that you wish you would have had in the past. Now, we know from Acts 16:1 that Timothy's mom was a believing Jew, but it also implies there that his father was Greek and was not a believer. Apparently, that didn't keep his mom from impressing her faith upon her son. And most likely in that mixed household, there were, you know, cultural and religious tensions at times. But the word of God was taught. And Eunice's faith was resilient and shined brightly even in that challenging environment that she was probably in. Mother and grandmother, the mother and grandmother of Timothy lived it well, and it was obvious to Timothy and then to Paul that this family had cultivated the faith. In chapters 3, we see the importance of God's word in all of this. Paul says that the word of God had given Timothy the wisdom to receive salvation that comes from trusting in Christ Jesus. And that's why the Bible is so important in our homes and with our families. Bible verses, Bible stories, and biblical truth. Verses 16 and 17 of chapter 3, I think, are very well-known verses in the Bible about the importance of Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful. How is it useful? Well, he goes on and he says, to teach us what is true. To make us realize also what is wrong in our lives. To correct us when we are wrong. And then to teach us to do what is right. So how does God use his word in our lives? It says that he uses it to prepare and equip us to do every good work that God calls you to. So what that is telling us is that God's word, the Bible, isn't just good for our spiritual matters. It prepares us for all of life. It needs to be used in our homes daily. And not just a book that we pick up when we come to church on Sunday mornings. Now, I realize, I know many of you these days use the Bible app on your phones. But I have to ask you, how many apps do you have downloaded on your phones? All right? I mean, for most of us, including myself, the answer is going to be lots. Maybe even we'd say too many to count. So, is our Bible app just another app that gets used when we're not on all of those other apps? Or is it your main go-to app? You know, another good example of this would be the GPS that we rely on in our vehicles now. Back in the day, you know, we would have to rely on maps when we went to the big city or to a place that we had never been before. I still remember on some of our family vacations, my mom would have that map in the passenger seat on her lap as she was trying to help my dad navigate through the city or which exits to take. Believe me, it was pretty interesting and eventful sometimes. Probably some of you can relate to that. But now most of us use the GPS on our phones, and we rely on it to tell us where to go, where to turn, and if we need to turn around. You see, that's what God's word is for us and our families in life. It's what God's word can be for our children, our youth, our marriages, our relationships, our decisions that we have to make in this life. And of course, that list could go on and on. How many of us would go through a big city these days without relying on our GPS? Very few. And so, how many of us are going through life without relying on the guidance, the wisdom, and the counsel of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit through the words of Scripture? Get it out. Read it. Study it. Talk about it with your children. But most of all, live it. Live it out. Perhaps this is a helpful summary of what Paul is saying about God's word in these verses. It teaches what is right. It rebukes what is not right. It corrects and tells us how to get it right. And trains us in righteousness and how to stay right. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Not perfect, not someone who will never make a mistake, but someone who is equipped to live in this world that is full of competing voices, fake news, and dangerous ideologies. You see, Scripture, the Bible, is the unchanging truth that makes us wise in salvation and leads us to truth. Children and youth. Feels like I'm talking a lot to parents today, and I think there's an important piece here for you as well. And I'm sure that you have heard the commandment to obey your fathers and mothers. But along with that, I would like to encourage you to pay attention to what they are teaching you about God, Jesus, salvation, and the difference that a Christ-centered life can make in your life. It will make a huge, huge difference. I mean, if you go your own way and you do your own thing without any attention to the instruction of the ways of God and godly parents, your life will not be blessed in the way that it could be. In the Proverbs verses that we heard earlier, it said that those instructions and that guidance, or that counsel, it's like a lamp that's lighting your way through life. It provides the firm foundation that Jesus spoke of in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. He said, "If you hear these words and you put them into practice, you will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. It stood the storms. But if you do not put them into practice, you will end up like the foolish man who built his house on the sand and it fell with a great crash." You know, those words are really for all of us. And they pertain to this legacy of faith that these verses are mentioning this morning. As parents, you know, we can't control how our children make their decisions once they become adults. It's up to them to make those decisions for themselves. But as parents, we must give them a good foundation to build upon. One that is grounded in God's word, in our faith in Christ, and with examples to see what that looks like on a daily basis. And of course, one thing we should definitely continue to do as our children get older and become adults is to pray for them daily. You maybe don't, you know, have as much influence on them when they're out of the house, but the Holy Spirit still does. And your prayers will be heard by God. I realize this is Mother's Day, and not everyone is a mother. But as I think about that, all of us have had mothers in our life. We can relate to the importance of these truths, no matter what your experience in the past has been. And if you're living and breathing right now, which I think we all are, I hope we all are, these verses should be an encouragement for all of us to make a difference, to be an example, and to pass that torch of faith to the next generations. Live it well and pass it on well. Nurture the future church is our vision statement here at Church States. And I hope that, you know, I hope that we are doing that well in our families as well as here in this church. So to close, in preparing this week, I could not help but go back to the words that Moses shared with the Israelites as they were about ready to cross the Jordan River and to go into the Promised Land. And Deuteronomy 6 is where those words are found. And I'm just going to end the message this morning by sharing these. And I was thinking about Paul and Timothy and Timothy's mother and grandmother. You know, they didn't have the New Testament, but they had this. They had Deuteronomy. So they had these verses that they were living by. So listen to Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord. Of course, fear means worship and reverence the Lord, follow the Lord. You must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all of his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the God is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you are going to bed. And when you are getting up, tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's do that in our homes and with each other. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you first and foremost for all that you have done for us. Thank you for what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary, that even in our failings as parents and as a church and as your followers, Lord, we know that you have paid the price for our grace. Lord, help us to never forget that. all that you have done for us. We thank you for your word that inspires us and guides us and encourages us and gives us direction in this life. Help us to realize, Lord, that it is the one thing that we always need to turn to and rely on when we have questions and life seems difficult and hard. Lord, I pray for the mothers here this morning, the fathers, the parents, the families. Lord, I pray that we would take this encouragement seriously this morning and that we would pass the torch of faith on to our children. And I pray that their hearts would be receptive to understand how important this is, that it's not only important for this life in the here and now, it makes a difference for all of eternity and where we will be spending eternity. So Lord, I pray that their hearts would be tender as cultivated soil for the seed to fall into. And the Lord, I pray that you would send the rain and the nourishment that is needed. Help us as parents and as grandparents and as the church to cultivate the ground so that that growth may be a growth that will produce a bountiful harvest. Lord, I thank you for each one here. I thank you for the dedication that they show. And I pray, Lord, that this just might be an encouragement for all of us to consider our day-to-day lives and the difference that we can make and ask ourselves, are we making the difference we need to? Are we being an example for our children and the next generations? May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. And it's in the name of Jesus our Savior that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great Mother's Day, everyone. See you next Sunday for Graduate Recognition Sunday.